This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. This is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. This course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. The purpose of this workbook is to train your mind in a systematic way to a different perception of everyone and everything in the world. It is doing these exercises that will make the goal of this course possible. An untrained mind can accomplish nothing. Transfer of training in true perception does not proceed as does transfer of the training of the world. If true perception has been achieved in connection with any person, situation, or event, total transfer to everyone and everything is certain. Remember that one exception held apart from true perception makes its accomplishments anywhere impossible. The very nature of true perception is that it has no limits. It is the opposite of the way that you see now. And suddenly, it's your course in miracles. You have come to the time and place in your association with your body form where you are beginning to receive instructions of alternatives in regard to your location in space and in time. If you choose with this Course in Miracles, which is designed to bring about a change in who you thought that you were, it's a systematic redefinition of yourself as you were contained in this containment of space-time. I'm an advanced teacher because I have advanced in an illuminating process that has shown me the entirety of my relationship in this time and in this place with this little dark form and the entirety of what I am in all of universal mind. So we're at lesson 151. In this course, which is an indication, it's the 151st day of the association of the derivatives of your previous correspondences in your determination not to accept this message. Now, the fundamental basis of this teaching should be this, and I see that you're going to see it with me now. Your determination to remain in a factoring of your conceptual self and believe that you actually occupy that body, that the self that you have identified right there is actually who you are, is what is holding you in the bondage of space and time. Now, the message of this course from the resurrected mind of my Savior, Jesus Christ, the Savior of this world, says very simply, if you'll share with me the certainty that there occurred a procedure of a revision, not only of the timefulness of my correspondence with my mind, but in the actual physicality of my body, okay, in the certainty that your separation was an illusion contained with only within your own mind. Now, 151, the lesson that we intend to do today, is the Easter lesson. Okay? My concern on whether you consider yourself to be a Christian is zero. I could care less about how you insist on identifying the entity consciousness called Jesus Christ, who lived 2,000 years ago within a frame of time that, based on his resurrection, has no meaning or reality whatsoever. I am concerned that you recognize contained within his message was the certainty of your own resurrection, without which the continuing futility of attempting to remain in that establishment of body can only increase. What I am telling you very simply from my mind to yours is that through the practice of this course, there is a method and a continuing occurrence in this space and in this time that's actually showing you the entirety of the alternative. Now, could you see in this procedure, in this happening, in the teaching of this lesson that may begin soon, that all the things I see are echoes of a voice that said, we're back in heaven together? A voice that told you instantly when you entered this frame that it wasn't true, that you had somehow made a wrong turn, if you want to look at it that way. What I want to impress on you as a member of the species is that that echo, that vibration, that word, okay, that sound in its entirety is going on right now in the entirety of you. With your permission, I'm going to go back and read to you just a few passages from the text of the Course in Miracles, which comes from Jesus, from out of time, and offers you the immediacy of the possibility that you could celebrate Easter at this moment, not only in the recognition that he is indeed resurrected, but in the recognition that his message to you is only that you can, will, and did resurrect at this moment. Let's listen together just for a moment what it says in chapter 20 of this Course in Miracles. As we pick this up, Jesus is speaking. I have great need for lilies, for the Son of God has not forgiven me. And can I offer him forgiveness when he offers thorns to me? For he who offers thorns to anyone is against me still. And who is whole without him? Be you his friend for me, that I may be forgiven, and you may look upon the Son of God as whole. But look you first upon the altar in your chosen home and see what you have laid upon it to offer me. This Easter, look with different eyes upon your brother. You have forgiven me, and yet I cannot use your gifts of lilies while you see them not, nor can you use what I have given unless you share it. The Holy Spirit's vision is no idle gift, no plaything to be tossed about a while and laid aside. Listen, and hear this carefully, nor think it but a dream, a careless thought to play with, or a toy that you would pick up from time to time and then put by. For if you do, so will it be with you. You have the vision now to look past all illusions. It has been given you to see no thorns, no strangers, and no obstacles to peace. The fear of God is nothing to you now. Who is afraid to look upon illusions, knowing his Savior stands beside him? With him, your vision has become the greatest power for the undoing of illusions that God himself could give. For what God gave the Holy Spirit, you have received. The Son of God looks unto you for his release. For you have asked for and been given the strength to look upon this final obstacle and see no thorns nor nails to crucify the Son of God and crown him King of death. Your chosen home is on the other side, beyond the veil. It has been carefully prepared for you, and it is ready to receive you now. You will not see it with the body's eyes, yet all you need, you have. Your home has called to you since time began, nor have you ever failed entirely to hear. You heard, but knew not how to look nor where, and now you know. In your knowledge lies ready to be unveiled and freed from all the terror that kept it hidden. There is no fear in love. The song of Easter is the glad refrain, the Son of God was never crucified. Let us lift up our eyes together, not in fear but faith, and there will be no fear in us, for in our vision will be no illusions, only a pathway to the open door of heaven, the home we share in quietness, and where we live in gentleness and peace as one together. That's an Easter message, isn't it? What a lovely particular of the connection between the historic Jesus, who, if you will let him, will represent his resurrection rather than the continuing of his crucifixion, which you define as the necessity for him to die in order for you to recognize your home in heaven. It's simply not true. The recognition that this whole mind from out of time is offering you at this time and in this place is the certainty of your own saviorship. Everything that he directs you to in this Course in Miracles will say only this: at this time and in this place, you can, you may, and you will decide to undergo an experience of your own resurrection. Will you see this with me for just a moment? I'm at the time and place, as you have been directed by this Course, by the necessity that you assume the responsibility for what's going out on in the world and accept it as a containment within your own mind in which you remain in momentary associations of the forms that justify in your memory the moment when you came here. Okay. The moment that I am offering you now in this lesson, in this time, and in this place is actually the only moment that there is in all of space and time. It's the moment when the idea of separation, the idea of that body, the idea of the formulation of this dark form of matter energy could be what you really are, appeared to you in that instant to represent within the idea of fear what you actually are, which is nothing but the entirety of the total mind of our Creator. So, the necessity for you to recognize yourself at this instant in time is what this atonement, this at-one-ment principle is. Do you see this with me? Look with me just for a moment at this offering. This lesson says that everything that you see within your own conceptual form, in the illusion, in the fantasy, in the hallucination of your apparent separation as a separate consciousness based on your determination to justify the judgment contained within your own mind in regard to what you are at each moment, okay, offering you a complete alternative in everything that you see, in the particle, in the form, in the observation of the thoughts of your own mind. We could pursue this without the need to identify it within the religious vernacular if you'd like to, and perhaps we will in this second half hour. Obviously, you are in a quantum illusion. You actually believe that after that moment of its entirety, you could sustain it separate from what everything is. And the idea of quantum, the idea that all of cause and effect are going on simultaneously at this moment, is the entire teaching of this course. It is not more or less than that. Now, that experience that hopefully you had with me at that moment, perhaps cleared out for a moment in the light of that moment of exchange, the holy instant, the miracle, the dreck of your consciousness that you hold on to in order to judge yourself within the idea that you are a body, because you're not. Not only are you not a body, okay, the totality of your association in space is actually over and gone. You live in the illusion of the idea that you are separate from everything that is. Let's read together now, if we will, this lesson 151. It says that all of the associations of your mind actually are particulars of the message that you are receiving from out of time, but reject simply because your fear of the entirety of the loss of these particulars. It'll be about judgment, because that's what we have to look at. And the judgment we're going to look at is yours. Listen. No one can judge on partial evidence. This is not judgment. It is merely an opinion based on ignorance and doubt. Its seeming certainty is but a cloak for the uncertainty it would conceal. It needs irrational defense because it is irrational. And its defense seems strong and convincing and without a doubt because of all the doubting that's underneath. Are you listening to this? You do not seem to doubt the world that you see. You do not really question what is shown you through the body's eyes. Nor do you ask why you believe it, even though you learned a long while since your senses do deceive. That you believe them to the last detail, which they report, is even stranger, when you pause to recollect how frequently they have been faulty witnesses indeed. Why would you trust them so implicitly? Why? But because of underlying doubt, which you would hide with shows of certainty. How can you judge? Your judgment rests upon the witnesses that your senses offer you. Yet witnesses never falser was than this. But how else do you judge the world you see? You place pathetic faith in what your eyes and ears report. You think your fingers touch reality and close upon the truth. This is awareness that you understand and think more real than what is witnessed to by the eternal voice for God Himself. Can this be judgment? You have often been urged to refrain from judging, not because it is a right to be withheld from you. You cannot judge. You merely can believe the ego's judgment, all of which are false. It guides your senses carefully to prove how weak you are, how helpless and afraid, how apprehensive of just punishment, how black was sin, how wretched in your guilt. This thing it speaks of and would yet defend, it tells you, is yourself, and you believe that this is so with stubborn certainty. Yet underneath remains the hidden doubt that what it shows you as reality with such conviction, it actually does not believe itself. It is itself alone that it condemns. It is within itself that it sees the guilt. It is its own despair that it sees in you. I want you to share with me, just for a moment, if you will, what this lesson is offering you as a human being. If you're watching this video, whether it's in the privacy of your own home, or whether perhaps it's on the television set there, wherever you are. Okay. The description you just had contained within that lesson is actually a description of your conceptual self. Okay. It asks you, within your own arrangement of the correspondence of your body form, if you would simply take a look at how much you actually doubt yourself. Okay? This is not really a threat to you, but there's no way, okay, that as I look at you, I am not certain of your uncertainty. The basis of the correspondence of the human condition in its conceptual association with itself, as you are defined right there, is doubt about who you are. Yet, if you look at it fundamentally with me, the idea that you could actually doubt or not understand who you are cannot possibly make any sense, because it's impossible. In the idea of doubt about self-identity cannot not be contained the wholeness of who you are. So it's important, just for a moment, that you look actually what this lesson says. This lesson says that your conceptual identity of yourself, okay, that you believe is contained within the organization of your body form, is completely void of the single reality that you actually are. The voice of God that is speaking to you in this time frame, at this moment, is simply telling you, this world is not true. Can you see this with me? It's not at all concerned about all of the rituals that you perform in your determination to identify yourself as a body in this time and space. It does remind you of the futility that you must be feeling in your own judgmental procedure, since all of your judgment is going to be based on a procedure of a relationship of cause and effect in the idea of the passage of time. So that all of your judgment can and will and must be a verification of where you appear to be located here in that body. Look at this with me for just a moment. If it is true that this world that appears to represent what you are is true, you are forever going to be confined to an association of the body form that represents what you think you are. Listen carefully. This lesson, which is required, since no one could actually continue to participate in the illusion that you think is representing what life is within that body form, and not finally have a moment of realization of its falsity. Can you share this with me? Because it is false. I left you just for a moment because I had to scratch my nose. I became so excited at the prospect that you were going to hear me that, what was the old saying, when your nose itches, you're going to kiss a fool? I thought for just a moment you were going to kiss me. I would hope that would be true, because either I'm very foolish in what I'm offering you, or you're very foolish in when I instruct you that you're not actually all of that containment of self-identity. And it's possible for us at this moment to communicate with what we really are. Can you hear this? Obviously, this entire course, coming from a whole mind, and we'll use it as the image or entity of Jesus, could only be representing to you the entirety of who you are. Do you see that? You have projected me from your mind and hold me in an image of a correspondence of the doubt you have about yourself. Now you ask me for the solution based on your doubt, as though somehow your doubt, which you must verify in me, can give you the answer. What a strange teacher you have. Okay. You have an idea that I'm a consciousness separate from you. If that's true, I would have to doubt with you. Now, I have no doubt that you are doubtful, because I have become certain through the revelation of my own mind, through my determination of a complete alternative that's going on here and now. All right? Yes, I am an image. And yes, at the moment that we share that instant of the voice from God that is showing us the entirety of our love, we do not doubt. This course is designed to give you moments of certainty. The mind that I am offering you, which is actually your own mind within a space-time frame, wants you for the moment of that happiness to be certain of who you are. That was a fast 30 minutes, wasn't it? The idea of the echo of God and that all of your judgment is false. We're going to have to leave you because many of you are watching this on television and these are broken up into 30-minute segments. We'll be back in just a moment to continue with the mind training of this lesson 151 in your Course in Miracles, a course in the discovery at this time and place of who you really are. God goes with you wherever you go, and the moments that we just shared will be with you forever. We'll be right back. This is a Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. Welcome to some very advanced teachings in this Course in Miracles. You are learning very rapidly now within this apparent frame of space-time to release your own judgmental self. What it fundamentally required, okay, was the simple admission that none of your judgment really could be validated, not only in your own association, but with what appears to be the world around you. Okay, all associations of mind, all evidences are circumstantial, most certainly including eyewitness reports. What a strange dilemma you suffer from when you attempt to share the doubt, okay, that must exist in any arrangement of time. Now, your admission that this is your condition does not solve your problem, but if you will admit, okay, to the apparent futility that must be expressed within your determination to seek for the truth of you where it is not, all right, you can at least admit to a continuing possibility that you can hear within the vibratory associations of light a complete and whole alternative, which I am now attempting to offer you by clearing the debris of your judgment form. Did you see what happened there in that instant? Okay. For just a moment, it was clear to you who you are in relationship with this world and my certainty that you must be whole and perfect as you were created because you have no alternative except to be. Let's continue now with this mind training lesson 151. That is attempting to show you, and perhaps what you just felt at that moment was a direct communication with the voice of God. Listen. Let's continue. It is itself alone that it condemns, and we're speaking of the you that you think you are. It is within itself it sees the guilt. It is its own despair that it sees in you. Hear not its voice. The witnesses it sends to prove to you its evil is your own are false and speak with certainty of what they do not know. Your faith in them is blind because you would not share the doubts their Lord cannot completely vanquish. You believe to doubt its vessels is to doubt yourself. Yet you must learn to doubt their evidence will clear the way to recognize yourself and let the voice for God alone be judge of what is worthy of your own belief. He will not tell you that your brother should be judged by what your eyes behold in him, nor what his body's mouth says to your ears, nor what your fingers touch reports of him. He passes by such idle witnesses, which merely bear false witness to God's Son. He recognizes only what God loves, and in the holy light of what he sees, do all the ego's dreams of what you are vanish before the splendor that he beholds. Let him be judge of what you are, for he has certainty in which there is no doubt, because it rests on certainty so great that doubt is meaningless before its face. Christ cannot doubt himself. The voice for God can only honor him, rejoicing in his perfect, everlasting sinlessness. Whom he has judged can only laugh at guilt, unwilling now to play with toys of sin, unheeding of the body's witnesses before what? The rapture of Christ's holy face. My goodness sake, were you able to hear just a little bit about the offering of the re-imaging that's possible in this time and place in the momentary reassociation of our separate selves? One of the biblical words that's often used by Jesus in this course is the word rapture. It's the idea that there's a process in your mind where you find the certainty of who you are, all right, which will momentarily be represented by the joy that you feel, will be a rapture, all right? And I heard all about this being described as some sort of a physical evidence in Revelation. And while Revelation is necessary for the completion of who you are, since the doubt is in your own mind, let me show you, if I may, at this moment, that the rapture, the joy, of the forgiving nature of the releases momentarily of your judgmental defense of yourself cannot not show you at this moment that our minds are communicating in the certainty that we share a single mind. I have been asked by my Savior Jesus to represent my certainty of saviorship to you in this world. I am certain of it both through the evidence of his resurrection, which was available to me in his testament, and my certainty that through the practice of what he asked me to perform in the acts of forgiving you, or forgiving all of the grievances that I held against God, I underwent this experience of enlightenment, which indeed will be rapturous. And if you'll allow it to be, can show you some joy and happiness at this time that will transcend any idea that you had about yourself. It might be important for you to see, wherever you are in that time and place, that I have absolutely no concern about how you are looking at your judgmental self in your determination to justify within your own mind the message that I am giving you. Your justification for yourself is not what I'm offering you. My certainty of who I am within my own mind cannot not be your certainty, because there is only one certainty of the entirety of eternal life. So I am within your dream of death, offering that certainty to you. Your practice in this course was to lay judgment aside just long enough to vacate the intensity of your need to judge yourself within the factoring of your ego, your conceptual self, so that the light of this offering, of this teacher of a course, and of all of the teachers that are beginning to go out into the world, having had experiences of this joy, of this rapture, of this revelation of the certainty of who they are, they will offer to you in the certainty, first, that you can share it, and second, in the incredible realization that we are actually sharing that single mind together. And having heard this message, it is impossible that you did not respond to it and depart this place of pain and death, very simply because you let it be the entirety of the moment of terror which you heretofore held on to within lateral time, sequential time, with the idea that it could possibly be real. This is the reclamation process going on in your mind from the certainty of who you really are, represented for this moment by my mind in correspondence with your mind that recognizes both the moment of the separation that is right here between us and the certainty that we can enter in, if we choose, right at this time, to a power so great that would show us instantly how ridiculous was the idea that we would remain separate. Thank you for letting me attempt to explain to you the certainty of my love for you. And the moment that you did not attempt to judge the message that I am offering you concerning my certainty of who you are, you began to enjoy this moment. Let's continue now with the reading of this lesson 151 from our Course in Miracles. Listen. Let's continue now with the judgment of your Christ mind. And thus he judges you. Accept his word for what you are, for he bears witness to your beautiful creation and the mind whose thought created your reality. What can the body mean to him who knows the glory of the Father and the Son? What whispers of the ego can he hear? What would convince him that your sins are real? Let him be judge as well of everything that seems to happen to you in this world. His lessons will enable you to bridge the gap between illusions and the truth. Listen. He will remove all faith that you have placed in pain and disaster and in suffering and loss. He gives you vision which can look beyond these grim appearances and can behold the gentle face of Christ in all of them. You will no longer doubt that only good can come to you who are beloved of God, for he will judge all happenings and teach the single lesson that they all contain. Listen. He will select the elements in them which represent the truth and disregard those aspects which reflect but idle dreams. And he will reinterpret all you see and all occurrences, each circumstance and every happening that seems to touch on you in any way from his one frame of reference, wholly unified and sure. And you will see the love beyond the hate, the constancy in change, the pure in sin, and only heaven's blessing on the world. Are you listening to this? Such is your resurrection, for your life is not a part of anything that you see. It stands beyond the body and the world, past every witness for unholiness, within the holy, holy as itself. In everyone and everything, his voice would speak to you of nothing but yourself and your Creator, who is one with him. So will you see the holy face of Christ in everything and hear in everything no sound except the echo of God's voice. Let's talk together just for a moment, because many of you are feeling the excitement of your own resurrection. Happy Easter. By your admission of the possibility of entire conversion of your body form within the illusion of this space-time, you cannot not have recognized the entirety of your own resurrection. I know you're hearing this somewhere within your concepts, you there who remain in judgment. it's impossible that if you are accepting in any fashion within your own conceptual self-identity my certainty of my own certainty about who you are, that you will not recognize in that moment of our shared certainty the certainty that the hymn that I just read you about is you. If you want to accept the responsibility that has been given you by my saviorship, by the saviorship of Jesus of Nazareth, which shows you in an instant the entirety of the resurrecting capacity contained within your own body form, the excitement of the rejuvenation of yourself, as I'm attempting to represent to you from what you seem to think is my self-body, will give you a great deal of joy. Not only will it allow you to see the joy and happiness that you are, but it will repair instantly within your own body form all of the idle, diseased thoughts you had about your own body in order to justify your necessity to be sick and tired and lonely and repressed and despondent, okay, in the idea that there is no solution to your problem. The simple fact of the matter is the joy you're feeling from my mind is your recognition that there is no solution. Nothing will ever give you greater joy, conceptual doubter, than my certainty that your thing that you search for in doubt has nothing to do with reality, because it's impossible for you to actually doubt yourself. So this is a resurrecting moment, isn't it? All right? Remember what we said together? Let's share it just for a moment. Shall we try it? Okay? Say to me, at no single moment, does my body exist at all? Yeah. At no single moment does my body exist at all. You've recognized within a new frame of reference, a continuing, ongoing, instant alteration, okay, of the illusion of your self-identity that previously held you in the bondage. Interestingly enough, I'm not really concerned whether you consider that within the vernacular, all right, of Jesus Christ. Here's a new science magazine, and we're on the web if you want to examine us. We're teaching instantaneous quantum. Sure enough, here's a big article in New Science says quantum mirage. See that? What it actually says is the certainty that at any single moment an illusion of the entirety of you is available to you. That is looked at from the perspective of the organization of the matter form contained within space-time, because the only thing that could possibly be real within your association of sequential time would be the instant or the quantum mirage in which you recognize yourself entirely. That's why the body forms cannot recognize you as you come into the entirety of yourself. If you and I no longer want to remain separate in the projections of our own mind, we will enter into a revision of a quantum moment that actually shows us that we are singular. Now, until we're able to do that, Jesus represents the entirety of both of us. Through our recognition of him, we can recognize ourselves very simply because we're sharing one mind. And there it was, that happened. You suddenly are feeling the excitement of your own certainty of who you are. Now, perhaps you let me represent that for you for a moment within your own dream. As a matter of fact, it's impossible that you did not let me represent it. I cannot be doing this except by your instruction. I don't know where you're going to hear that, and I could care less. You are the result of all of your own instructions, including this one. I'm offering you the entirety of the solution because you told me to, at this time and in this place. And if you accept it, you'll be gone from here. Okay? Now we have to complete this lesson, so let's do that. And in the meantime, we'll retain this quantum moment as we complete this lesson 151. Listen. Now look to your certainty. Give him your thoughts, and he will give them back as miracles which joyously proclaim the wholeness and the happiness God wills his Son as proof of his eternal love. And as each thought is thus transformed, it takes on healing power from the mind which saw the truth in it and failed to be deceived by what was falsely added. All the threads of fantasy are gone, and what remains is unified into a perfect thought that offers its perfection everywhere. Spend 15 minutes thus when you awake, and gladly give another 15 minutes more before you go to sleep. Your ministry begins as all your thoughts are purified. So are you taught to teach the Son of God the holy lesson of his sanctity. No one can fail to listen when you hear the voice of God give honor to God's Son. And everyone will share the thoughts with you which he has retranslated in your mind. Such is your Eastertide. And so you lay the gift of snow-white lilies on the world, replacing witnesses to sin and death. Through your transfiguration is the world redeemed and joyfully released from guilt. Now do we lift our resurrected minds in gladness and in gratitude to him who has restored our sanity to us. And we will hourly remember him who is salvation and deliverance. As we give thanks, the world unites with us and happily accepts our holy thoughts, which heaven has corrected and made pure. Now has our ministry begun at last to carry around the world the joyous news that truth has no illusions and the peace of God through us belongs to everyone. Happy Easter. Could you just for a moment begin to recognize what that lesson said? That lesson spoke of your resurrection. What an amazing idea. I hope if you're not familiar with the text and this workbook of A Course in Miracles that you'll go out and buy yourself a copy or ask us and we'll send you one. You can write to the Miracles Communication Center. They're hidden out there somewhere, but in your determination to find a copy of the text and of this workbook, you'll be able to find it. And it'll be based on your discovery of the message that's contained within it. It's much like the idea that the simple message of Jesus is not recognized by this world. All anyone would have to do to recognize his own wholeness would be very simply to accept the idea fundamentally that your Savior has been here and has resurrected and has stayed with you in this time and space to remind you of the entirety of who you are. Now, how that's dealt with by the establishment obviously could not possibly concern me. My concern is about your individual resurrection in my certainty, represented by the resurrection of the body and mind of our Savior Jesus, that you see who you are. Nor is it necessary that you connect it particularly to Christian vernacular. How you connect it could not possibly concern me, but I have evidence within this text and this workbook that necessitates your practice that on a continuing basis, you will begin to have alterations of your self-doubt with moments of certainty of a correspondence that's actually available to you right now in this time and place. I know there you, as a conceptual body identity, believe that time is passing and are basing your continual reality on the idea of the fostering of your necessity to remember your birth and the inevitability of your future death. What I am offering you in this quantum moment is a time and space where your resurrection literally occurred. It's a replacement of the forms of energy of light that were momentarily displaced in the idea that you could be separate. Listen with me. All of the subsequent ideas contained within your conceptual idea of yourself represent a moment of misalignment within the entirety of the faculty of space-time. Will you look at this with me? This is indeed a dark moment. The moment that I'm offering you now is so dark that those of you who have been practicing this course have been circling around it. But because for you, the idea of a pure, bright light of the entirety of who I know you are will cause a complete loss of your conceptual identity of yourself. Can you see that? How dark is the darkness, says my Savior Jesus, when it's dark. And all of your comparisons will be to the conceptual idea that you have about yourself, and it's not true. What we intend to share at this moment is our Christhood based on our certainty that we never could have really been separate. Okay, can you hear that? Forgive me for my offering to you of the certainty of your perfection. And if you will lay that judgment aside just for a moment, we will recognize each other in this time and in this place as who we really are, and at that moment will represent the entirety of this Easter occurrence. I'm glad you joined me here today for this Course in Miracles, and I'm glad that in that moment of recognition that happened to you wherever you thought you were or what you were doing was a totality of an instant where you recognized with certainty that you didn't belong here in the uncertainty that this world represents. I hope I see you again soon. I'll be with you in our shared minds now based on that incident that happened to you, that healing that occurred within you. And as we proceed to a predetermination that we really never left heaven, and that that recognition from our Savior is coming to each other now. God goes with us wherever we go. God is the mind with which we think. God bless us, everyone.